Up in your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. I continue to enjoy the study through Mark myself. I hope it's been a blessing to you as well. This morning's message is called, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And it's talking about, of course, blind Bartimaeus, whom the Lord Jesus met in Jericho. Last time, though, we saw Jesus was petitioned by James and John, two of his disciples, two of his inner circle disciples, along with their mother Salome, and they requested that James and John would be on the left and right hand of the Lord Jesus when he sat in his kingdom. Quite a powerful suggestion there, a bold suggestion or request of the Lord. We learned a number of things. First of all, we saw that the Lord did not answer them when they said, Lord, do something for us. He didn't say, okay, what do you want? He didn't say, okay, he asked them what they wanted, and then he said he would do it. So we learned a little lesson just by way of the context here to not make decisions before we ask questions and get all the facts. We'll see that again this morning. We also learn that we are very blessed when God uses our children in a mighty way, even if it means he takes his children away from his children, because they are, or our children, away from us, and uses them. Something to rejoice in. We said that to be willing to do whatever is required to make ourselves the most usable to the Lord, we ought to be willing to do that. And then lastly, we said to be willing to become a nobody so that God could exalt you or me and make us somebodies in his service. So we're looking for practical things. We'll see the overall context and the overall interpretation of the word, but the Lord intends for us to look for practical lessons as we go through, and we want to do that as we continue in the book of Mark. Let me give you the background of where we are. Jesus continues from Galilee down through Perea, which would be on the east side of the Jordan River, crosses over the fords there just above the Dead Sea, and over close to Jericho. He would take the Jericho road up the hill and go to Jerusalem, about 16 miles away, 17 miles away. And so that's the trek. They are probably at this point where we enter in this morning at verse 46. They're crossed over the Jordan River and they're going into Jericho, that city there, which is about 4 or 5 miles from the Jordan River. Doesn't seem so far when you're looking at it in pictures, but about 4 miles from the Jordan River. We're going to launch in this morning at verse 46 where it says, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And so they came to Jericho. This is, as far as we know, it is the only recorded time when the Lord Jesus went through Jericho and there was ministry there. A number of things happened on his way to Jerusalem. I would remind you that this is the last time he goes to Jerusalem by way of Jericho. So whatever's going to happen there has to happen now. The Lord Jesus will die on the cross when he gets to Jerusalem. The route from Perea to Jerusalem would take them right through Jericho. Everybody who traveled from all of the Jews who came from Galilee generally, so they didn't have to pass through the land of the Samaritans, they went down the east side, the Transjordan side of the Jordan River, crossed over the fords and went through Jericho and up to Jerusalem. So a typical route for individuals to go. The verse says, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. There's a little problem here when you compare the synoptics. The synoptics are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's a little different, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke seem to tell the same stories from different perspective, same events, I should say, in the life of the Lord Jesus. Matthew and Mark, that we read right here, say that he was leaving Jericho. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1 says that he was drawing near to Jericho. So there seems to be a discrepancy, and people who want to put down the Bible, they jump on things like this. But there is an explanation. There always is. First, you could say that possibly Jesus passed through Jericho and was not invited into anyone's house. When he got to the other side, he met this wee little man that climbed up in a sycamore tree. What was his name? Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, the Lord invited him to Zacchaeus' home so he would come back into Jericho. So there was some coming and going there. It could have been at any one of the times. Eliminating the discrepancy between one and the other. There's a second possibility. In the Old Testament, there was a Jericho. And you remember Joshua and the children of Israel marched on Jericho, or should I say marched around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. And so Jericho was destroyed. The Old Testament Jericho is still there, a pile of really just dirt, because the brick that built the wall of Jericho were clay bricks. There's not any stone there in that immediate area. And so over time, it would just turn to dirt. They have dug down and found some things they believe would be the pillars of the wall. And they would be maybe some of the towers. When we were over there in 1996, we saw some round structures down under the ground that would appear to be like towers on the corner of a wall of the old city. Well, later they rebuilt Jericho, but not right there on that same spot. There's an Old Testament Jericho. There's a New Testament Jericho. If you go to Jericho now, it would be about 2 miles from Old Jericho, where the walls came tumbling down. There were two Jerichos in Jesus' time. There was Old Jericho, the Old Testament Jericho, and there was the New Jericho. So Jesus could pass through the Jerichos, so to speak, and he would enter and exit and enter and exit as he went toward Jerusalem. And so there's that possibility, which would explain away the discrepancies. There's a third possibility. He met the blind men on his way into the city. They followed him through the city, and as he left the city, he healed their blindness. You see, it's not hard to come up with an explanation to harmonize the scriptures together. I would say this to us: any problem with the Bible is in our interpretation. It's not in God's inspiration. It's in our interpretation, not in God's inspiration. Now, that's a critical matter, isn't it? Because there are those who write books about the discrepancies in the Scripture, the conflicts in the Scripture. And I want you to know that if you will take your time and don't get hasty about drawing conclusions and just ask God to provide a logical solution, He does in every case. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Bartimaeus. Bar means son of. Timaeus is his father's name. He's son of Timaeus. And there were others in the Bible. You've heard of Bar-Jesus that is mentioned in the Gospels. The son of Jesus. Jesus was a common name in the Scripture. A lot of people disappointed, maybe surprised at that. Jesus is the same as Old Testament Joshua or Yeshua. And so it was a common name. So we have Bar and then the father's name, and that would describe who an individual is. There's another little problem here that arises in this passage that you might read about. Matthew says that there were two blind men. Mark only mentions one. Well, what's the solution? Well, if there were two blind men, then there must have been one blind man, right? And another one. There was one, though. And why would it just be singled out the one in Mark? Well, because Bartimaeus is the one who spoke. Bartimaeus is the main character there. So not really a discrepancy at all. If there were two, there was also one. Bartimaeus, probably the spokesman of the two. Little application here as we go. Jesus went to the place where those who needed him were waiting. Isn't it amazing that the Lord Jesus went through Jericho at that exact time? And that there was blind Bartimaeus there who was in need of the Savior, ready to be plucked, ready to be harvested. Blind Bartimaeus says that Jesus was, or it says that Jesus was Jesus of Nazareth. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. And so it sort of narrows it down to which Jesus. There were many Jesus, Yeshuas, in that day. But this is the one from Nazareth. And Jesus of Nazareth is passing through this particular town because somebody there needs him. Reminds us of that verse in John chapter 4 where it says Jesus must needs go through Samaria. He needs to go through Samaria. Why did he need to? Because there was somebody there ready to be spoken to by the master and would be one to him. And as a result of that, many others in that town were introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved, recognized him as the Messiah. Every soul is important to Jesus. Every soul should be important to you and me as well. The Bible says that we're salt and light. We, like the Lord Jesus, should, at his prompting, stop and talk to that individual. The Lord kind of tugs at your heartstrings and says, you know, there's somebody you could give a tract to. You need to do that. You need to take the time to pull the tract out. I know we're in a hurry, but not too big a hurry to do the Lord's business. Sometime he might say, you know, see if you can talk to them about the Lord. Can you tell them how Jesus died on the cross for their sins? How that he was buried and he rose from the dead according to the scriptures? How that sometime later he ascended back to heaven and he's at the right hand of God the Father right now? That's the gospel. That's the good news. How long did it take me to say it? Just seconds. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To everybody who will believe it, whoever will accept this water of life, he offers it to them freely. And so we ought to do as the Lord. Take time. Take time for those who might be ready. You know, in the Bible, in the Gospels, the Lord told his disciples, the fields are white, all ready to harvest. Well, if they were right and all ready to harvest, white and all ready to harvest 2,000 years ago, what must they look like now? You don't see such a big harvest as maybe we used to, but there's still individuals out there. Individuals who are looking for, because the Spirit of God has been working in their heart, they're looking for the truth. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus is desiring you to be one of God's children, and he can fix it for you. He can reconcile you to the Father. Take time to tell people. It's not hard. It's not hard to talk to them about the Lord. Please take the time. Verse 47 in Mark chapter 10, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's crying out here. As I said, Jesus was a common name, but he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, which gives it some more distinction, but doesn't necessarily make that name a name of honor, Jesus of Nazareth. But we're going to see in just a minute that he had heard of him before. And he believed him to be the Messiah. He was a believer, this blind Bartimaeus. And so he cried out. He shouted out over the noise of the crowd. Because you remember the first verse here said that there were a lot of people there, a lot of people traveling, and they're always interested in what the Lord Jesus is doing. No doubt, a lot of noise on the busy street. And he shouted above them, and we'll hear their response. What did the crowd say? We'll see in just a minute. But before we move on, we want to consider how he cried, because he knew Jesus was near, but he couldn't see him. He knew Jesus was near, but he couldn't see him. Now, when I read that, I thought, well, that's just how it is with us, isn't it? He's promised to be near, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:20. Hebrews 13:5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Jesus is near. Blind Bartimaeus could not see him, nor can we. But he believed. He knew that the Lord Jesus was near. You can't see him, but can you sense his presence? I don't know if you ever had that eerie feeling in a dark room that maybe somebody else was there. Some sense beyond our conscious mind, and I'm not talking about a sixth sense, but one of our senses pick up on the fact, you know, there's a stillness here. There's a movement there or something. And you sense that somebody's in the room. Well, do you ever sense that Jesus is near? Do you ever have that thought of the presence of the Lord right now? In this situation, in this place, Jesus is near. Well, the truth of the matter is you could have that all the time. Because Jesus is always near. Even though you can't see him, he's near. Blind Bartimaeus knew he was near and he cried out. We should have such faith. Even though we can't see him, we should cry out. And what did he say? Jesus, thou son of David. Son of David is a standard Jewish title for the Messiah. Son of David. Who's David? Well, that's the king back there in Israel, the Old Testament Israel. You had Saul, David, and Solomon, the second king of Israel. And God established a covenant with David by which someone would reign on the throne of David into eternity. And that somebody, of course, would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And so from that very promise, they were watching for that individual who would be the anointed of God, not an anointed like the other kings, but the anointed, the promised heir to the throne of David. And so they're looking for him. And blind Bartimaeus recognized him as the son of David, the Jewish title for the Messiah. It's only used here in the Synoptic Gospels, by the way. Sort of makes this healing stand out. He's about to be healed. Makes it sort of stand out among the miracles of the Lord Jesus. Here's a person who didn't see him as just a rabbi. He saw him as God in the flesh and called him the son of David. William MacDonald says it was ironical that while the nation of Israel was blind to the presence of Messiah, a blind man, a blind Jew, had true spiritual sight. Because that's how you'll see Jesus, is through spiritual sight, through faith. There was a man named Isaac Newton. You've heard of him before. He did an experiment once upon a time. A great scientist. He wanted to understand about the sun. And he thought to himself, if I look at the sun, but I look through a mirror, I get the mirror and I look at the sun, as it reflects from the mirror, I can discover things about it. And he did. He got through looking and he was blind. All he could see is a bright light. He locked himself in a dark room for several days, but that bright light wouldn't go away immediately. The person who tells this story or illustrates with this story says this is what happens in a spiritual sense when blind Bartimaeus fixed his gaze on the penetrating purity of the holiness of the Son of God. Blind Bartimaeus, though he could not see with his eyes, he saw with his eyes of faith the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a few times during his ministry was the Lord Jesus called the Son of David. Among them, there was Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Different blind men. Matthew chapter 9. And then there's the Syrophoenician woman. Do you remember her? We talked about her here in the book of Mark. But she was a lady, a Gentile lady who come to the Lord Jesus, and she recognized him and called him the Son of David. That title by which we know that she recognized who he was, that he was Messiah, he was God in the flesh. And here's blind Bartimaeus with that same title. And he says, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Not a specific request, is it? You could pray that. Not a specific request, not yet. In other words, he's saying to the Lord, Lord, God, Son of David, do me a favor. What will Jesus answer? You can hear a little bit of faith in his cry, can't you? Bartimaeus believed that he was God's anointed. He had no doubt that Jesus could heal him. He was about to ask that he could see. And you can hear it in his cry, "Have mercy upon me." He believed he could do it. And verse 48 says, "And many charged him," many of the crowd charged him, "that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me,' he said." Can you hear him above the shout of the crowd? And they charged him to hold his peace. Why? I mean, he's blind. Don't they feel sorry for him, for his blindness? Well, they told him to be quiet, maybe because they were distracted by his noise. Maybe they wanted Jesus all to themselves. Maybe they didn't care about this man's blindness. Maybe they didn't believe Jesus could or would heal his blindness. But this man's faith was not dependent upon their faith, nor was his faith dependent upon what they thought of his faith. Those others around him. You know, the world will try to get us to keep our mouths shut when we want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan will see to it that their reason for asking us to be silent seems almost reasonable. But it's not reasonable, because God said, "Open your mouth," and we should indeed open our mouths. Speak a word. Hey, if we don't speak a word, how will they hear without a preacher? We have to tell them about Jesus Christ. They're individuals ready to hear that for the first time. Maybe it'll take 10 times or 15 or 150 times before they accept Christ, but there's got to be a first time. And God will put that little seed of thought in their hearts, and at some point, maybe they'll be harvested. I fear that time is running out. Do you? I keep my eyes on the news. There are a couple of sites in Jerusalem, in Israel, I should say, that sort of reveal some truths about what's happening. It's amazing. They're all but ready to build the third temple. I'll say more about that tonight in our study of Revelation. There are individuals now appointing a Sanhedrin, the Jewish court, in hopes of accomplishing something very similar, they believe, to what the UN is established for. They want to build their temple, and they make that temple the temple of the people of the world. Very universal thought. They have a coin now in Israel. A small coin measures 40 millimeters across it. That's a pretty large coin, I guess you'd say. And it has the head of Cyrus. Cyrus was the king of Persia who gave the orders to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the walls. And Nehemiah and Ezra in that age. Cyrus, a Gentile, imagine that, allowing the Jews to go back and build their temple. Superinscribed over the head of Cyrus is the head of Donald Trump. And there are Hasidic Orthodox Jews in this day who love Donald Trump. You know why? About a year ago, he made Jerusalem he put the embassy in there. And what did he do? In doing that, he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And there are individuals there who love, we're talking the Orthodox Jews. They love this Gentile man, and they believe, they have said, there's a rabbi preaching that Donald Trump will be the reason that Donald Trump will usher in the Third Temple era. That he will be instrumental in allowing them to put the third temple on the Temple Mount, where now the Dome of the Rock stands, the mosque, the gold dome, the Dome of the Rock, that will somehow be done away, and the temple will be there. They already have the furnishings. This past week, they have started doing reenactments of the purification of the water. And now they're going to start doing reenactments of the morning and evening worship at the temple. The sacrifice is not yet known whether they'll actually sacrifice animals, but reenactments of those things. Dressed in their priestly garb. Are these interesting thoughts to you? You could let your mind go with that, couldn't you? Well, where are we? What's happening right now? Well, it's some interesting days. And I said all that to say this. we may be embarking upon the last days before the Lord's trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel cries out, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, along with those who are raised from the dead from the church age. The rapture of the church and the 7-year tribulation period will be underway. The time of Jacob's trouble, the day in which the great and dreadful day of the Lord could be just around the corner. Why is that important in this context? The world does not want you to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's going to perhaps become illegal. It's going to become unwanted. It's going to become politically incorrect. And what do? We ought to obey God rather than man. Let's get used to the idea of obeying God. Let's share the tracts. Let's do what we can do. Let's do what we can do because time may be running out. There are individuals yet without Christ. And you and I have the responsibility, the command, the commission, if you will, to go and tell them. Let's do what God gave us to do. When they told him to be quiet, he cried a great deal more. And there's a shouting match between Bartimaeus and the crowd. And Bartimaeus is saying to the Lord, "Lord, have mercy." He wants to be heard. He wants to make sure Jesus doesn't get away, and he can't see him. And the crowd says to Bartimaeus, in the modern vernacular, "Shut up, old man." And Bartimaeus refuses to shut up. Verse 49, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. So he commanded Bartimaeus to be brought to him. And those who had tried to silence Bartimaeus stand rebuked by the master now." I just would remind you that Jesus always has time. Whatever a person's station in life, here's a blind man who has nothing to contribute, but Jesus has time for him. Shouldn't I? Shouldn't you? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylights fade into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Doth he see? And the songwriter answers, "Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." What a beautiful song. Jesus cares, brothers and sisters. Do you? Jesus took time for blind Bartimaeus. Everybody else said, "Shut up, old man." And Jesus called him into his presence. They called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good cheer, comfort. Be of good comfort and rise, he calleth thee." Do you almost hear some expectation in the voice of the crowd? They're expecting Jesus to do something now. He called for blind Bartimaeus to come over. They know what he's got on his mind. There's almost some expectancy now. "Be of good courage," they told Bartimaeus. "Cheer up. He called for you. Rise up." And he, verse 50, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Forgive me, but I'm always looking for something here to draw out. Casting his garment. Why did Mark write casting his garment? He cast his garment. He rose up and he came to Jesus. Casting and rose are both participles in the Greek. And the action of the first does not precede the action of the second. In other words, it was time for him to eliminate anything that would slow him down. Anything that might get in his way as he made his way to the master. He cast off his garment. No time for that. And he makes his way to the side of the Lord Jesus. Casting away anything that might hinder him from getting into the presence of Jesus quickly. Is there a lesson there for us? Might be boyfriend or girlfriend or job or hobby or car or camp or home. What keeps people from the Lord Jesus now? Verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Jesus had been walking by, and blind Bartimaeus says, "Have mercy on me." That's sort of a blank check, isn't it? Okay, I will. What would you like? No, he doesn't say that. He says, "What do you want?" Again, as he had before with his disciples, Jesus refuses to sign a blank check. And Jesus already knew what he wanted. He was blind. He knows what he's going to ask, but it's necessary for his request to be voiced. The blind man said unto him, "Lord." In the Greek, that word "Lord" is Rabboni. You've heard of a rabbi. A rabbi is a teacher, but this word's a little deeper than that, a little more unusual. Jesus couldn't pass by when somebody was voicing a need, when somebody believed in him, when somebody was ready to exercise faith. I'm caused to think of that verse in James chapter 2 where it says, And one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit?" Oh, the thrust of my message is, can we be like the Lord Jesus? Can we care about blind Bartimaeus? He has a different name today, or she. It's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? I have it. They need it. It should be theirs. I can give it. I can do it. We ought to do it. We ought to do what we can do to reach other individuals for Christ. And what did blind Bartimaeus ask? He said in the verse 51, "That I might receive my sight." So the specific request is out. It's looking for a specific answer, and he's looking by faith. He believes the Lord can just will it so, and he'll have his sight. "Let me receive my sight." I would like to hear his voice inflection. Bartimaeus knew that he could simply will it so. Verse 52, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately, just like that, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Immediately. He probably had 20/200 vision, but he could see a little. No, he had 20/20. The Lord healed him. He gave him his sight. Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee well." The synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all tell the same story. And Matthew says Jesus was moved with compassion. Matthew also says Jesus laid his hands on the man's eyes. Luke says Jesus said, "Receive thy sight." And Mark says, Jesus says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Which one is true? Well, all of them. It was an event. Reward for this man's faith. His faith became sight. Literally. He said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Your faith has saved you. His physical and his spiritual eyes were opened at the same time. He had faith in who Jesus was. He was the Messiah. He had faith in what Jesus could do. He could give him sight. And immediately he received his sight. And the Bible says he followed Jesus. The verb is an imperfect tense, which means he kept on following Jesus. He stayed with the Lord. He followed after Jesus. Luke adds that they glorified God as a result of this event. Sometimes the quickest way to a man's heart is to deal with some physical need that he has. To get to his spiritual heart, you reach out in a physical sense. Satan's clouded the waters in our day. There are people who just go from church to church, from Christian to Christian, from house to house, looking for handouts, and that's how they make their living. They're lazy. They don't want to work. They don't need anything. The Lord tells us, don't feed them. But there are still those out there who have real needs. Most of them aren't calling church to church or knocking on doors. You have to see them. Your neighbors, the friend of a friend. And God will give you wisdom to recognize a need, and He'll lay it upon your heart to meet it. Isn't it a meaty little passage here? A lot of wonderful truths. Let me review them for us. Any problem with the Bible is with our interpretation, not with inspiration. Never get too excited too quickly. Never jump to conclusions. Oh, there's a contradiction in the Bible. No, there's not. Jesus went to places where those who needed Him would be waiting. Every soul is important to the Lord Jesus. It should be to us. Jesus is always near, though you cannot see Him. But you could have faith, like Bartimaeus, believe He's there. Doesn't require sight. Requires faith. Your faith does not depend upon what others say, what their faith is, what they say about your faith. It doesn't matter. There's going to be opposition if we follow the Lord. Jesus always had time for the commoner, the downtrodden, the outer, the person on the outside, the fringe individuals. We learn this morning to cast away anything that hinders us from getting to Jesus' side quickly. And we learn that like Jesus, like the Lord Jesus, we should be willing to help at a moment's notice. Wonderful passage. We'll continue our study here next week. Read ahead. Think. It's a fruitful passage. Fruitful book, as all of the Word of God is. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank You for this morning and for this opportunity. Bless these thoughts. Lord, especially the little lessons that we pick up along the way, bless them to our hearts and to our lives. Help us to be more like the Lord Jesus, willing to reach out to the downtrodden, those, Lord, that are less fortunate than we, those who have true physical needs. Lord, help us to desire to meet those needs so that we might also minister to their spiritual needs. Father, have Your perfect will and way. And each heart and life this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.